The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. Your mighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you don't believe the Almighty exists, He has said concerning you, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? So if you're living your life in unbelief and believe that something nice is going to happen when you die, I suggest you think again. You could be in for a nasty shock. If you're a believer, but you've really not done much in your relationship with Father, He has said concerning you, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life? So again, if you made some sort of decision at some point in your life, but you've carried on living as though He doesn't exist, and you think something nice is going to happen at the end of your life, you could also be in for a nasty shock. This is about relationship. The Almighty created us to have relationship. That's what this program is about. And I encourage you to really listen intently and choose a deep relationship with Him. Tonight's topic, The Global Flood That Changed the World, Part 6, looking at how the geology and topography of our planet were formed. This is based on a set of presentations that I created in 2010. In overall context, the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me. Overview of tonight's program, The Global Flood That Changed the World. The broadcast continues to examine the real timing of the global flood event. It is strongly asserted that millions or billions of years ago is absurd based on available information. It is strongly asserted that it is absurd to claim that the Bible is the Word of God and without error. It is postulated that the book of Genesis or Origins in the Bible is an adequately reliable historical account. It is asserted that the genealogies in Genesis give the date of the flood. Some supporting references are provided. It is suggested that there was a nuclear war not long after Noah, and it is suggested that total destruction of the surface of the earth less than 4,500 years ago disrupts many theories. It is suggested that there are signs of judgment and that the real miracle is that a man and his family survived the event. It is asked whether Genesis might be correct and that the flood was a consequence of a judgment on mankind. It is reported that the ship or ark of Noah has been found and that in itself is evidence of judgment. It is noted that the dimensions of the ship in Genesis directly correlate with the remains of the ship found in the mountains of Ararat in Turkey. It is reported that fossil graveyards have been found all over the earth. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering. I practiced as a strategic management consultant in South Africa for 25 years, and I'm currently a business executive with a group of small companies in the United Kingdom. I have over 26 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty, following a dramatic encounter with Him on the 12th of March 1993, when He spoke to me audibly in a locked room. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, and physical books. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. Questions from the last broadcast 2 weeks ago. Tasha asked, please explain what you meant when you say the flood was a judgment. Well, I'm going to discuss that in quite a lot of detail tonight. But basically, the Almighty judged mankind, found them to be corrupt and have fallen away, and brought the ice comet, which led to the flood and destroyed all the inhabitants of the earth, barring Noah and his immediate family. So that's what I mean by it was a judgment. It destroyed the unbelievers and the sinners. Bill asks, how did Noah know to make the ark? It's an important point. The reality is, which few people realize, is that the Almighty can do nothing on earth without a human being to call it into existence. So in fact, Noah prayed for the sinning people to be destroyed and consulted with Father in terms of how that would happen. So Noah knew exactly what was going to happen. And the Almighty led him and guided him and taught him to build this huge ship with very, very robust design, very solid construction that would survive the tumultuous waves, etc., that we've spoken about in previous programs. Question number three, Tara asks, do we know how small the earth was before the expansion? The report that I've read, which I haven't validated, is that it expanded by about 25% when it expanded. So that means it was about a third smaller than it is today. So quite a considerably smaller planet. Jim asks, what do you mean by many Bibles? I thought there was only one. Well, there are many Bibles at several levels. Firstly, the Catholic, Greek Orthodox, Church of the East, and Protestant and Jewish Bibles all differ in a number of ways. They don't even have the same sections in them. They have a fair amount of common material, but each variant has its own collection of writings. So there are books in the Catholic Bible that are not in the Protestant Bible and vice versa. In addition to that, in English, there are well over 100 different versions, different translations, different renderings of the language, and they all differ to some greater or lesser extent based on different people having different opinions as to how to translate the Bible. Question number five, Jan asked, or Jan, how do you know how close you really are with God? Well, that's up to each one of us. Once you get to a place where you're in deep relationship with Father, He will tell you how close you are. He has certainly given me to understand where I was or where I am with Him over many years now. And He will do the same for you if you make the effort to draw close to Him. So to recap, just in terms of the global flood that changed the world, this broadcast is the culmination of a number of years of observation and research, coupled to formal training in geography, geology, science, mathematics, and most importantly, engineering. The broadcast seeks to make visible key aspects of the topography and geology of our planet that are obvious and in plain sight once one is sensitized to them. These observations evidence that the entire planet was submerged underwater at some time in the past, and that associated with this, the surface of the Earth was radically transformed and subject to massive tectonic ground movement events. All of this took place around 4,500 years ago, such that there are very few archaeological finds that are older than this, and the entire surface of the Earth dates back to this event. Theories of much older dates for the formation of the surface of the Earth and older datings of archaeological findings are shown to be flawed. Flawed and false. I want to stress the importance of my engineering background. It gives a level of rigor and discipline and a whole lot of principles that are not necessarily widely understood and which have given rise to many of the errors that I've highlighted in this series. So to pick up where we left off, we're going to chapter 9, what is the age of all this, really? So we go on to say that millions or billions of years is absurd. A quote, we know the radioactive decay rate of whatever. We have no basis to assume that there's ever been a nonlinear trend. These are the sorts of assumptions that are inherent in the commonly used dating methods. And it's just not so. Everything so far in this series indicates massively non-linear events. Written records going back thousands of years indicate a recent event. Millions of years is therefore highly improbable, technically unsound, and logically absurd. So the harsh bottom line is that from a fundamental first principles engineering, scientific, mathematical, logical perspective, even thinking that one can project back millions or billions of years with regard to the age of artifacts found on the surface of the Earth is absurd. I can't stress this enough, folks. There is so much that is published authoritatively that postulates things of tens of thousands of years or hundreds of thousands of years or millions or even billions of years. Folks, there's just absolutely no way that it is possible to project backwards so far. There are so many imponderables. There are so many variables. And as we've seen in the last few broadcasts, the way in which the surface of the Earth has been massively disrupted just make it just completely impossible to go back thousands of years beyond the flood in the dating that we've given, we're talking about now. Another common belief, the Bible is the word of God and without error. And I want to suggest to you also that that is absurd. The Bible is a collection of writings by assorted people. No one in the book is there a passage that unambiguously catalogues the content of the book and defines its scope. There are books of the same name that have different compilations and literally hundreds of different English versions. Nowhere in the book does it claim that the entire compendium of writings is without error, and nowhere in the book does it claim that the entire compendium of writings is the Word of God or the Word of Yah, which is the true name of the Creator. Furthermore, the book contains errors, and it contradicts itself in various places. So therefore, I submit for your consideration that the belief that the Bible is an errant Word of God or Word of Yah is therefore absurd. Folks, the Bible is a very useful history book, as we'll see in the next few minutes. That's where it stops. It teaches us about man's interaction with the Almighty, but where people refer to it as a handbook for life, etc., it really doesn't say very much. We can learn from the lessons of the examples of the anointed people that are described in the book. We can see where they made mistakes, and we can learn from those mistakes. But when you come down to the nuts and bolts of how you live your life in 2019 on this planet, there's not all that much in the Bible. There's a lot of other material that's been written by anointed believers that should be read together with the Bible, and some of it should be given the same standing as the Bible. So to follow this line of thinking, having said that the Bible is not the Word of God and without error, let's ask the question, could Genesis, the book of origins, be correct? At this point, I suggest that the most that we can say about the Bible is that it is a collection of writings, the oldest of them generally accepted to be at least 2,500 years old. The book claims that there was a global flood in about 2345 BC, or more accurately, the section of the Bible named Genesis, Origins, says that. At this stage, let us not get into whether the flood was an act of a being whom is customarily referred to as God or the Lord, or even whether he exists or not. Let us simply say that Genesis claims there was a global flood and examine that portion of that book further. Genesis is presented as an historical account of real events. Can we validate this? Minor errors are not a problem if we consider the writings to be the work of human beings who, like ourselves, make mistakes. Most specifically, can we regard reports of a global flood about 4,500 years ago as reliable? One of the problems that results from religious Bible punches, and that's not my choice of words, that's the way that Almighty refers to them. The reality of Bible punches who slavishly take wrong translations of the Bible and declare because it's the word of God, it must be so, and in the process defy the laws of physics, etc., is that rational, educated people, in many cases, reject the Bible as a resource and reject the Almighty. If you just accept that the Bible is a useful reference work, those problems go away. So, what does Genesis say? Genesis 7:11 to 12 says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep were broken open, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Based on the fact that the human beings alive at that time were all in a closed boat and had no way of knowing exactly what happened, the fact that the above account does not exactly conform to what I've presented is of absolutely no concern. Genesis 8:3-4 says, and the waters receded continually from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the waters decreased. Then the ark rested in the seventh month, the 17th day of the month, on the mountains of Ararat. They came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. That is the important piece here. Ron White, Jonathan Gray, and others have traveled to the mountains of Ararat in eastern Turkey and found a boat that is similar to that described in Genesis. Now that's important, folks. Genesis says there was a flood. The details of the flood don't matter. I believe that Noah and everybody with him, all the animals, were strapped into the boat because it was tossed in like a cork in a raging torrent. And I believe that the Almighty caused a deep sleep to fall on everybody in the boat. So actually, there's no real record keeping of exactly what happened there. Maybe Noah woke up at certain times to record information, but as far as I can see, that's not important. What is important, that the boat exists, it has been found, and it confirms Genesis. So they've found the remains of a huge wooden vessel submerged in a volcanic mudflow in the mountains of Ararat in Turkey. The size agrees with Genesis 6:15, length 150 meters, width 25 meters, and height 15 meters. So there are images of this in the presentation on the flood pages of the website. Based on excavations, they've constructed a model of the way they think the boat looked. Also see the website. They've also found a house, a grave, and some engravings. The boat carried a family of 8 people, a man and his wife, and their 3 sons and their wives. They were subject to a flood. The man was approximately 18 feet, that's 6 meters tall, as evidenced by the grave and the geometry of the house. There's every reason to conclude that the remains of the boat and the house and engravings validate the account in Genesis. Therefore, it is absurd to claim that Genesis is not a reliable account when it comes to its report regarding the flood, at least at the headline level. The outline of the boat can even be identified in Google Earth at the location where it is reported to have been found. Please have a look at the website. So here we have a book, the Bible, Genesis, describes exactly what the boat looks like in headline terms. And lo and behold, exactly where it says that the boat will be found, they found the boat. That strongly suggests that at least at this level, Genesis is a reasonably reliable source of information. And that's all that matters, folks. It doesn't have to be the Word of God to be a reliable source of information. Continuing, the Genesis genealogies give the date of the flood. Genesis also contains a detailed genealogy from before the flood to well after the flood. This genealogy is confirmed at a headline level by genealogies located in Ireland and elsewhere. See on the website. Egyptian timelines also confirm. Egyptian timelines support a flood date of about 2345 BC. Like many other advanced civilizations, Egypt, Mizraim, sprang up rapidly after the flood, immediately with advanced technology. Once certain wrong assumptions with regard to the Egyptian dynasties are resolved, Egyptian timelines correlate. Likewise, other advanced civilizations around the world, Babylon, Machu Picchu, etc., confirm that these civilizations sprang up suddenly, shortly after 2345 BC. It is apparent that Noah and his family brought with them advanced technology. So again, we see that it is absurd to discount the timeline given in Genesis. Arguments that suggest that these things could not have happened in the time presented in Genesis are unfounded, because they lack the critical facts that are presented in this series. So, it's so important, folks, move away from believing that the Bible is some mystical, magical book, to just accepting that it's a useful history book, and that the genealogies have, there's every reason to believe that the genealogies are pretty accurate. And that then gives us a direct fix on the dates. So why would a book that goes into a lot of detail about dates be an error when it was recorded at the time versus all the stuff that's been done in recent years? I'd like to share with you some useful references from Jonathan Gray. If you're challenged by what I've been sharing with you, that you might want to read further. These books are available from his website. They're also available on Amazon. The Killing of Paradise Planet, A Reconstruction of the Earth Before the Flood, based on the archaeological evidence that does exist from before the flood. Surprise Witness, A Reconstruction of the Events During the Flood. The Corpse Came Back, A Reconstruction of the Events Following the Flood. Repopulation of the Earth, Dispersion of Tribes and Peoples. This is a particularly valuable book, very thought-provoking. And then Dead Men's Secrets, 1,000 archaeological findings that evidence that the civilization destroyed by the flood was far more sophisticated than our current civilization and had technologies we do not have today. This is a must-read for anyone who's seriously interested in the history of man as we exist today, a real eye-opener. Reading and videos to change your worldview are available from www.beforeus.com, that's BEFOREUS, beforeus.com, or from Amazon. There are also some books that explain why commonly used dating methods are defective. Jonathan Gray is a very useful resource in this field. He's published some other books that I don't agree with, but the ones relating to archaeology and to these findings, as far as I can see, are pretty accurate, pretty reliable sources of information, and well worth reading. I want to talk about indications of a nuclear war not long after the flood. So there's a further complexity. In Dead Men's Secrets, Jonathan Gray reports an account of what appears to have been a nuclear war. There are apparently remains of cities on various continents which show evidence of being destroyed in a nuclear war. And this then opens the problem that this variable nuclear activity on the Earth after the flood further contaminates any attempt to use radiocarbon or other dating methods that rely on radioactivity. This also introduces the possibility that Australopithecus and other missing link humanoid apes were in fact the mutant offspring of humans who survived the nuclear attacks, but who were badly affected by radiation. Folks, there's so much that we don't know. And it's only people like Jonathan Gray who've gone to great personal sacrifice to explore places all over the earth and collate information from all sorts of sources, who open the opportunity for us to really see what's happened in the past. Once you recognize that major civilizations were built up and then many of them were destroyed by a nuclear war, global nuclear war, and then people built up again in the time of Abraham, it gives such a different perspective on so many things that we've grown up believing. I really encourage you to read the books that I've just referred to, study the material that I'm sharing with you now. It's just so different, folks. It's really worth looking into. I want to suggest for your consideration that the evidence that we've presented in the last few weeks of total destruction of the surface of the earth less than 4,500 years ago disrupts many other theories. I suggest for your consideration that global warming is a result of the earth continuing to dry out as water drains from the continents. So is the rising of sea levels. Cities have been submerged. The presentation on the website shows a graph reflecting a rise in sea level of over 140 meters since the flood, as water has drained off the continents and glaciers have melted. Races can all track their origin back to Noah and his family. All differences are a consequence of degradation, negative evolution, and passive mutation as a consequence of radioactive exposure during the flood, immediately after the flood, and after the nuclear war. Evolution over millions of years is invalid. In fact, it really is absurd. In fact, it turns out that dinosaurs lived recently, and the Loch Ness Monster was probably a real dinosaur. Folks, in what we're talking about, truth really is stranger than fiction. And the thing to realize is that people in ignorance have postulated all sorts of theories which just don't stand up to critical examination. Once you've grasped the essence of what I'm talking about here, once you've traveled around in your part of the world and looked at the hills and the valleys, if you've traveled more widely, looked at the mountains, etc., I really believe that you will find that it's very difficult to postulate a different theory for how all of this was formed. I would like to suggest that the exact age is not critical, but the principle is important. A debate as to whether the flood occurred in exactly 2345 BC or 10,000 or 20,000 years ago is not that critical. It is important to decide whether there was a global flood. Your view on this information may point you to some major decisions. It is also important to recognize that this happened relatively recently and not millions of years ago. This realization has a huge impact on how one views a number of other key discussions, like evolution versus creation. Folks, once you realize that all of this was destroyed less than 4,500 years ago, once you realize that agings of millions or billions of years in terms of evolution are completely unfounded, once you realize that 8 human beings survived the flood in the ark with one set of animals, it changes the way you look at the whole debate about creation. And so many things where people postulate that things evolved over millions of years just fall away. So I really encourage you to engage deeply with what we're talking about. Go to the website, download the presentations or the slideshows, read the material there. It really is a very different way of looking at things. So in conclusion, there has to have been a massive global hydraulic and a tectonic event, a flood in inverted commas. Engineering principles say that long-range extrapolation is unwise and reckless. Sharp young rocks everywhere point to a young age. Historical accounts point to less than 4,500 years ago. There are good reasons to accept the Genesis account, and the approximate date of 2345 BC is reliable. I really encourage you to go back over the material that I've presented in the last 2 months. Really critically examine what I've said. Visit the website. Go through the PowerPoint. There are lots of photographs, lots of images, a few video clips, diagrams to really demonstrate what I've said very clearly. Not that easy to get the picture just listening to me on the radio. So I'd encourage you to do that. Be critical. Be critical of what I have to say and be critical of what you've believed. Because I really do suggest for your consideration that there has been this massive event and it also happened pretty recently. In the scheme of everything, 4,500 years ago is really, really not far away. Moving on to chapter 10, signs of judgment. And I suggest for your consideration that the real miracle is that a man and his family survived that event. So we have clear evidence of a global hydraulic and tectonic event not that long ago, around 4,500 years ago, in fact. Actually very recent, if one has been thinking in terms of millions of years. This is particularly important in the context of a body of opinion that says mankind will only be on Earth for a total of 7,000 years, and that we were created slightly more than 6,000 years ago. Time is potentially running out. How should we respond to that information? Further, there is a body of opinion that the global hydraulic and tectonic event that is the subject of this series, the flood, was the consequence of a judgment by the Almighty on mankind. This chapter examines the extent to which this might be so, and if it is, what one might do about that. The presentations which this broadcast is based are available on the flood page or the global flood page on the website www.endtimeissueministries.org. So in order to examine this further, let us look at a number of archaeological finds that substantiate reported judgments in the books known as Genesis and Exodus, in the book known as the Bible. Folks, again, this is important. If some random ice comet just hit the Earth and did what we've been looking at, well, then some random ice comet hit the Earth. But if the Almighty judged mankind at the request of Noah and actively directed that comet to strike the Earth, and more importantly, helped Noah to prepare a way of escape, then one needs to think a bit differently about this whole situation. So we see Genesis confirmed. We've established that Genesis is a reliable historical account to the extent that it reports a flood that destroyed the earth. What if Genesis is correct about the existence of a creator as well? What if Genesis is correct that this almighty creator judged mankind with the flood and forewarned a man called Noah to prepare a survival vessel in order to escape? What if there's going to be another judgment? We're again being given advanced warning in order to escape. Are you prepared? Genesis 6:5-8 says, "Then Yah, the eternally self-existing, frequently referred to as the Lord, but that's incorrect, saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And Yah, the eternally self-existing, was sorry that he'd made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So Yah, the eternally self-existing, said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I've made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of Yah, the eternally self-existing. Folks, this is so, so important. We are slipping into another generation where fewer and fewer people have any sort of belief in the Almighty, any sort of relationship with the Almighty. We're slipping into a generation where fewer and fewer people believe in the Almighty. What is going to happen as that situation becomes more pronounced? So we see that the ship or the Ark of Noah has been found. And I suggest to you that this is evidence of judgment. As we've already seen, the ship of Noah has been found, proving that one man and his family were forewarned of the flood and assisted to escape. This evidence is that the majority of people have, historically, not heard the Almighty on key matters or rebelled against what they heard. The question for you today is whether you are guilty of that error. Think about it, folks. As far as we can determine with very, very limited archaeological information, the earth had a very benign climate. It was a perfect sphere. There were no big mountains, etc. It's unclear whether there was any sea at all. And it seems that Noah, probably in the middle of a landmass, built this strange-looking boat. People didn't understand what he was doing. He did it by faith because the Almighty had shown him and had spoken to him and told him what was going to happen. So at the appointed time, Noah and his family got into the ship with all the animals. The Almighty closed the door, and as I said earlier, I believe that they strapped everybody in, and then the Almighty caused them to hibernate, to go into a deep sleep. And this ice comet struck, the earth was flooded, and this boat, although it's a big boat, but it's actually a small boat in the context of the scale of the earth, was tossed backwards and forwards on these raging waters for the best part of a year. How did Noah know that this was going to happen? I submit for your consideration, it's only possible given a deep relationship with the Almighty and warning and guidance, and therefore that evidence is judgment. Genesis gives dimensions of the ship that exactly correlate with what has been found. Genesis 6:13-17 says, and the Almighty said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark or container of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh which is in their breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. The existence of the ship evidences that the Creator warned Noah. If there was generally available evidence of a coming flood, ice comet strike, flyby, that was capable of destroying the planet, there would almost certainly have been other survivors. There is no evidence of more than one survival vessel. There is no evidence of more than one genealogy surviving. I take this as strong evidence that the Creator did indeed speak to Noah and that the flood was a judgment. Folks, as one gets into this material and really understands the import of what we're talking about. I honestly believe you have to accept that Genesis is right and this was a judgment. Going off in a slightly different direction, around the planet there are fossil graveyards in various parts of the Earth, where the remains of animals and humans occur in large deposits. Again, evidence of a dramatic event. See the images in the presentation on the website. Next week we will look at other signs of judgment. There are other signs of judgment that have been found. An army drowned in the Red Sea. Cities turned to ash. A fire blackened mountaintop. A split rock with erosion channels. These are discussed in the sections that follow in the next broadcast. Folks, there is a lot of evidence when you start looking. You've got to look in the right place, or the right places. I like to believe that my website is a useful resource on a wide diversity of topics. There's of the order of 1,000 pages on the website. Large amounts of material, there are books there amounting to about 9,000 pages. Once you come to understand that there is a creator, that he does guide us, that he does want a relationship with us, your life is likely to change. And to that end, I'd like to pose the question, where are you in your relationship with Father? Do you realize it is possible for you to become the closest to Father of any human being alive today? I'm close. I'm not as close as I could be. I'm not as close as I would like to be for a variety of reasons that I won't bore you with. I challenge you. It's totally within your grasp to choose today to seek a deep relationship with Father. Go to my website. Read what's there, download the books, makes it easier to read. Pretty much everything on the website is in the books, barring the most recent articles. So much to help you that I didn't have when I started this journey. And I encourage you, pray today. Father, James Robertson says you exist. Please show me in a way that I can understand. You can pray also, Father, James Robertson says it's possible for me to be very close to you. I would like to be very close to you. Please help me. Please guide me. Please show me. Folks, these are not trivial prayers. They're big prayers. It's not going to be a case of clicking your fingers and it happens. It's a case of making a commitment and then walking out that commitment. It's about listening attentively. It's about learning to hear Father, his still small voice. It's about changing your priorities. It's about keeping the Ten Commandments. It's about seeking to live a life that's free of sin. It will take time. The book, Seven Components of Drawing Close to the Almighty, is available on the website. It's a web page. It's also available in the books. I taught on that a few months ago on this radio broadcast as well, so it's on the radio broadcast website as well. I really, really encourage you to step out and do this. So to recap, the broadcast continues to examine the real timing of the global flood event. It was strongly asserted that millions of billions of years ago is absurd based on available information. It was strongly asserted that it is absurd to claim that the Bible is the word of God and without error. It was postulated that the book of Genesis or Origins in the Bible is an adequately reliable historical account. It was asserted that the genealogies in Genesis give the date of the flood. Some supporting references were provided. It was suggested that there was a nuclear war not long after Noah, and it was suggested that total destruction of the surface of the earth less than 4,500 years ago disrupts many theories. It was suggested that there are signs of judgment and that the real miracle is that a man and his family survived the event. It was asked whether Genesis might be correct and that the flood was a consequence of a judgment on mankind. It was reported that the ship or Ark of Noah has been found and that in itself is evidence of a judgment. It was noted that the dimensions of the ship in Genesis directly correlate with the remains of a ship found in the mountains of Ararat in Turkey. It was reported that fossil graveyards have been found all over the earth. Folks, there's actually a lot of evidence when you start looking. I ask you to take up the challenge. Read the material on the website. Pray. Ask for guidance. Ask for evidence. Father, I ask you to bring the people you want into my life and take the people you don't want in my life out. I ask you to show me the level of my present deception and how to correct it. There are numerous really powerful and important prayers under the prayers item on the website. I suggest you start praying them. In summary, there are 5 key documents that back up my entire message, and they're all main menu web pages on the website. The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you near the bottom of the menu. 7 components and drawing close to the Creator, also near the bottom of the menu. This is probably the most important of all the items. If you take this document, put it into practice, in 2 or 3 years' time, you will get much closer to the Creator. Recommended worship near the bottom of the menu. Songs that are strongly recommended, I listen to them all the time. The Creator's name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, at the top of the menu. Get to know his name fully. Where will you spend eternity? What is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity? Near the bottom of the menu. I taught on this a few months ago. Again, really important material. All of this available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcript of nearly all the teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at http://relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page and are physically available. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next broadcast. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. In closing, I would just like to stress, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter whether you're wealthy or poor, it doesn't matter if you're educated or not educated, it doesn't matter what your race, your tribe, your skin color, your hair color, your color of your eyes, whatever. Father wants you to become his friend. It's available to you irrespective of all the items that I've mentioned and anything I haven't mentioned, irrespective of what you may have been told by other people. Father wants you to become his friend. If you step out and reach out to him, he will welcome you with open arms and he will help you to reach that point. Yes, it's a journey. Yes, it's time consuming. Yes, it'll cost you sacrifice in this life. But the rewards are huge. To sit on a high throne with Yeshua, Jesus, for eternity, in a place of massive splendor and glory, with great authority. It's worth going for, folks. I encourage you to do it. Good night.